Have you ever been to Storyteller's Night at Jesse Brown's? Well, if not, we have a treat for you. Head over to Jesse Brown's on May 16th to hear three new stories. A Whimsical World by Drew Allison, Outlasting the Green with Bruce Knopfzinger, Jay Hahuja, and Carl Golden, and the third story, 100 Love Notes by Hung Yi. Snacks and drinks are provided, and all we want is you, you and your attention, for Storyteller's Night at Jesse Brown's on May 16th.
All right, Bill Barty, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors. We're coming up on the Kentucky Derby, and when you win the Derby, it's on to the next race, isn't it?
That's right, and if you win all three, you've got the Triple Crown.
That's right, and if you hike the Appalachian Trail, what do?
You go out west and hike the Pacific Crest Trail.
There you go.
Now, if you do not know about the Pacific Crest Trail, we hope that you're about to learn a little bit about it, and we're sure that you are. Welcome to the Carolina Outdoors. The voice over there, Don Yeager. The voice right here, Bill Barty. And we'd like to ask you, if you hike through 25 national forests and 7 national parks with a midpoint where the Sierra and Cascade Mountain ranges meet, you will have hiked the entire Pacific Crest Trail from Mexico essentially up to the Canadian border out west. The brainchild of Clinton Churchill Clark in 1932. It's the westernmost and second longest component of the Triple Crown, which includes the Continental Divide and the Appalachian Trail. Our next guest tackled the Appalachian Trail, I guess it was about 10 years ago, but we'll find out. His name, Rich Daylater. We're going to bring him on the Carolina Outdoors right now to learn about this upcoming adventure. Rich, welcome.
Thank you, guys. Nice to be back.
Well, hey, tell us about this. You've got the Appalachian Trail under your belt. I'm estimating that was about 10 years ago, but here it is, 2019, and on your list is the Pacific Crest Trail. Why are you picking that one, and why are you going to tackle that?
You know, it's interesting. I did the Appalachian Trail when I was downsized in the financial crisis 10 years ago, and it was so impactful, I always planned on doing this in another 10 years. So I'm just coming up on age 62, and hopefully I don't have to wait another 10 years to do the Continental Divide Trail at 72. But it's just was a great experience, and I definitely went 5 years, and every day I would think about being out on the trail at one point or another during the day. And it was just a great memory, and the PCT is just one of those goals to accomplish in the same manner.
Well, there are a few differences, and we want to talk to you a little bit so our listeners can learn and so that we can learn about these differences. The Pacific Crest Trail is longer. It's almost 500 miles longer than the Appalachian Trail. That's one difference, and I would say a pretty big difference. But an even bigger difference are the elevation changes, because the Pacific Crest Trail goes from just above sea level there at the Oregon-Washington border at 13,000-plus feet, to 13,000-plus feet, which is at Forester Pass in the Sierra Nevada. So that is a big difference than the Appalachian Trail. What are some of the other physical hiking and logistical differences that this trail is going to provide and put forth towards you?
Sure. You know, typically people start going from the south to the north. So you start on the Mexican border about 90 miles east of San Diego in a little town called Campo. And you literally are holding on to a barbed wire fence, which is the border. And you start heading north. And the first 700 miles, which takes you basically parallel to Santa Barbara, California, is through the desert. And you actually go through the Mojave Desert. You can see Palm Springs, though you don't go through the town itself. You see 29 Palms, which is a big military base. So that the first 700 miles are desert hiking, and you have to carry a lot of extra water. After those 700 miles, you go into the Sierras, and so you have to change out from sort of desert attire to, this year, because of all the snow they've had, crampons and an ice axe, and probably a little bit warmer sleeping bag. And you'd have about another 200 miles to go through the Sierras until you get to Yosemite. So you get to Yosemite, which is about parallel with San Francisco, and you've still only done one third of the trail. And so the next third of the trail is Northern California, and the final third of the trail is through the state of Oregon and Washington. So you really have sort of two unique and distinct terrains in the beginning before you get into Northern California, where it's a little bit more like the Appalachian Trail, where it's wooded and mountainous and much more water, lakes and streams to be crossed.
Now, the Appalachian Trail gets a lot of traffic, and solitude's a little hard to come by. Tell us about the Pacific Crest Trail. Does it have that number of people on it as well?
You know, it's interesting that the Pacific Crest Trail, you need a permit to do it, unlike the CDT or the Appalachian Trail. So there's a lottery system, and I received a start date permit on May 10th, which is my first day, and they have a permit lottery system on November 14th, and then again on January 14th, but they only allow 50 people a day to start, so the number of people out there is less than the AT from a through hiker perspective. They both get a fair amount of usage on day hikers or week-long hikers, but for through hikers, it's a much less crowded PCT adventure versus the AT.
Well, you just described the beginnings of it, at least in the South, with carrying a lot of water, the crampons, and managing ice and snow. That's going to be a part of it. And, of course, you have plenty of water on the AT, and you can have ice and snow there as well. But the gear difference, I'm sure that provides a weight difference as well. And just say an Appalachian Trail hiker on average, maybe in the 30-35 pound range, some less, some more. What do you anticipate your pack being for the Pacific Crest Trail?
Yeah, Bill, that's a really important point, is that people tend to have to carry in the desert 7 to 8 liters of water, and a liter basically weighs 2 pounds. So you can be carrying up to 50 or 55 pounds. The longest stretch without water through the desert is 32 miles. So you have to be weighed down with water in order to do that. The AT does not have that problem. So it is definitely a little bit of a difference in terms of the carrying capacity. And the other issue is on the AT, you tend to come to a town every 4 or 5 days of hiking. It can be every 6 or 7 days on the PCT, so you have to carry more food because you just have that many more nights to be out by yourself. So it is a little bit of a heavier carry, the gear tends to be a little bit of a bigger pack, and maybe less weight in the form of your tent or even your sleeping bag or sleeping pad. So people are a little bit more conscious of cutting their weight on the PCT.
We're talking to Rich Dayleader. He is preparing for his May 10th kickoff of the Pacific Crest Trail, which is 2,600-plus miles between up through Canada, Washington State, Oregon, and all of that. And, Don, of course, we know here on the Carolina Outdoors how to eat an elephant is one bite at a time. And that's the way they say to hike these long-distance hikes, at least the Appalachian Trail, I know, is to turn it into these mini hikes, these 5-day hikes. So, Rich, is that how you do the Pacific Crest Trail, instead of looking at it as 2,600 miles of trail, or even looking at it as a desert hike or a mountain ridge hike? Do you turn it into 5-day hikes each at a time to accomplish the end goal of 2,600 plus?
Yeah, it's definitely in the beginning of the hike, the first third, until you get north of Lake Tahoe. You really do have to sort of evaluate it as, is it a 5-day hike? Is it a 7-day hike? And plan it accordingly with your logistics. And my daughter, who lives in Colorado, will be my logistics manager, sending food packages along the way. And the towns, unlike some of the great trail towns along the Appalachian Trail, tend to be smaller, if you're lucky, you'll get a small convenience store. And so the selection of food on the PCT is less variable and probably a little less interesting. So mailing your gear, your new gear and or your food is much more prevalent for a PCT hiker than it is for an AT hiker.
What's the overall time frame on this if you're starting May 10th?
You know, Don, it's interesting. Even though it's over 400 miles longer, they say that you do it faster than the AT, primarily because it's graded for pack animals. People do this on horseback or with mule. And so there's a lot of switchbacks, and the trail itself is not rooty and rocky like the Appalachian Trail, and you don't have steep ups and downs. So it's actually an easier trail to hike than the AT. So you can be doing 20 and 25 mile days pretty regularly versus on the AT, I averaged a little bit over 15 miles a day.
Well, I'd go recruit a good mule for this.
I'm looking for Sherpas. I'm waiting for people to apply.
Take volunteers.
Yeah,
that's
there
right.
You go.
Carry my stuff.
If you would like to be a Sherpa.
Rich, I don't know if this but I'll let you answer this, qualifies as a sabbatical. But tell us about the wellness that this provides, getting out into nature, having this physical exertion and taking it on, and how can we follow you technologically along this trek?
Sure. You can follow me on Instagram just by going to Sabbatical Trek. And I've had a bunch of millennials teaching me how to post information on it. So hopefully I'll be ready by May 10th to do it on my own. But, a sabbatical is basically a break in the action. It's historically been an educator would get 1 year off after 7 years of work. But the idea is to just take a break. And, when I did the Appalachian Trail, I came to realize it was sabbatical. It was just a good break in the working action of what I had been doing. What I also realized is that people like, and we've talked about this before on your show, the Warrior Expedition program, where these military guys come back and they do a long distance hike as a way to sort of, just gear back into civilian life and, clear their head and get some restorative benefit out of it. I think that that's really one of the great things about a hike like that. You're out in nature and, nature is your friend in that way. And so the being a sabbatical is just a chance to get out there and, be with your thoughts and get in great shape and eat some pretty mundane food for a while, but you enjoy the days, each and every one of them.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to be eating some Snickers bars along the way, stopping at those convenience stores anyway. But we wrote it down right here, and we'll link into it at Sabbatical Trek. Rich Dayleader taking on the Pacific Crest Trail. Rich, thank you so much for joining the Outdoor Guys from Jesse Brown's here on the Carolina Outdoors.